The North Norfolk coast has been a popular holiday destination since folk first packed a case and headed off for a summer break. Although many people enjoy the seaside amusements of Hunstanton, there are few that leave without also admiring the beautiful beaches, pretty villages, and historic buildings that sit close by. Come November, when the beating sun has lowered its tempo and the crowds have long disappeared, our coast finds the arrival of new visitors, geese, duck, and a host of wading birds from the far-off frozen tundra. They stream down to us during the autumn in their hundreds of thousands and settle for the winter on our vast mudflats and winding salt marsh creeks. The tidal mudflats of North Norfolk are particularly the internationally important wash, are crucial for the vast flocks of birds, and although it may look like a lifeless, sticky ooze, it teems with muddy marine life. In fact, the invertebrates living in a cubic foot of estuarine mud contain more calorific energy than a Mars bar. Knott and Dunlin are constantly on the move, searching for rich food and this source exposed by the retreating tide. There are few joined by curlew, grey plover, bar-tit godwit, each sporting a particular shaped beak, evolved for prizing out the particular creatures on which they feed. Skeins of brent geese descend on the banks of eelgrass and hurriedly graze before the tide forces them off again. An occasional pair of shell duck are scattered amongst them, sifting their crimson bills through the silt, relentlessly searching for tiny snails. Although the days are short, the birds of the mudflats are not governed by the rising and setting of the sun, but by the turning of the tide, and they look for food almost continuously when the sea allows. The quantity of birds can be an impressive sight, even more so when the incoming tide pushes the flocks closer together and nearer the shore. Then, almost as one, they take off and head to a favoured roosting site. This wondrous spectacle of so many birds in harmonious flight suddenly becomes a dramatic life or death struggle as a peregrine falcon strikes. The huge flocks whirl and twist, exploding in all directions, trying collectively to confuse their aerial assailant. One less in number, they eventually make it to the safety of their roosting grounds. The waders push and jostle, separating themselves by species. Then they slumber in a restless manner until the tide turns once again. There has been a long history of land reclamation from our estuaries for agriculture and industrial development, so what we have left is too precious to lose. Unfortunately, our mudflats and salt marshes still require our continuing vigilance and protection. To the east of the wash are the smooth sandy beaches and pine-clad dunes of Hokum, Wells and Blakeney. With the winter beaches empty of holidaymakers, they seem even more expansive. At low tide, a mile walk to the horizon is required to reach the sea. Groups of pregnant grey seals look for a narrow, isolated stretch on which to pup. Their furry white offspring are fed for little more than a month, guzzling 3 litres of fat-rich milk each day, before they are left to fend entirely for themselves. Later in the winter, the adults will gather in some numbers to molt, and this is often at a traditional site, where the fishy aroma of molting colony of grey seals is unmistakable. They draw in flocks of turnstones and sanderlings in search for flies and sandhoppers around their lounging bodies. The sanderlings' jaunty little run is rather comical, especially when they're chased by folds of foaming surf. The seaward-facing dunes are good places to search for shore larks and flocks of plump little snow buntings. particular coastal areas of Norfolk, where the sea is shallow and slack, huge deposits of silt can accumulate, eventually becoming covered in salt-tolerant vegetation. This creates one of the UK's most important habitats, a salt marsh. And we hold globally significant expanses of this rare and increasingly threatened environment. These open, windswept landscapes contain their own unique communities of flora and fauna, a hinterland between the sea and the shore, their inaccessibility creating one of the coastline's few undisturbed habitats.